The season is over.
Here's Ludlow, last gasp attempt. Going deep down the field into double coverage. It's intercepted! Picked off by Quinyon Mitchell, the third pick of the day for Philly.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, not good enough, I'd say. I think that's what I talked about before is kind of the main factor in a lot of the losses we had was just not good enough, not able to get the job done.
This is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Stroph, powered by ESPN Wisconsin. Now broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio, here's Alex Stroph.
Away we go, hour two, Mr. Irrelevant here on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Stroph, Joshy DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn hanging out with you until 2 o'clock, leading into Kyle Bruston-Ortman. All day live and local reaction to the Packers' exit from the postseason, a 22-10 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles out at Lincoln Financial Field yesterday. It's disappointing, man. It is what it is, right? I think a lot of us, and Joshy alludes to the quote-unquote funeral we had across ESPN Wisconsin last week, I think a lot of us anticipated a loss yesterday. It was uglier than I anticipated, though. It's an offense that couldn't get anything going. It felt like the beginning of that game was kind of telling about what that game would be, right? The opening kickoff, it's a fumble. Philadelphia recovers. They score 7. You're already down 7-0, 2.5 minutes into the game. It just felt like that's what it could be. We just played a little stock up, stock down for all of our radio listeners that might be hearing Mr. Irrelevant for the first time. We do this each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 12:30 to 1:30. You can find that on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. And wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, just search Mr. Irrelevant. We'll be your first result. Feel free to subscribe there, and you will never miss an episode, this being episode 203 of Mr. Irrelevant. Seeing some of the stock up, stock down reaction coming in. George says stock down on Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark. Hard to get home when we only send 4, but man, that's a lot of money to spend on inefficiency. Well said by George there. Adam and Madison, which might be my mother, I don't know. So stock up, Alex Stroph, stock down. Anyone not named Alex Stroph? Joshy, I don't think Adam and Madison is like a fake name for my girlfriend, is it?
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know who in the right mind would be saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah. This from Randy on the text line. By saying they had to sign Love, what is that based on? Not saying they should not have. But if they didn't, are you saying they would have lost him, and after his play this year, they could not have signed him at a lower amount? Well, two things into that. Let's keep in mind, Jordan Love was holding out on a contract extension, which was the right move for him. He didn't participate in training camp for the first week because he didn't have a contract extension done. And why they had to pay him the number they did is because that is the market. It is not necessarily determined by your play, right? Patrick Mahomes isn't making $55 million a year because he signed a 10-year extension at $40 million a year a couple of years ago. Joe Burrow is up there. Tua Tagovailoa is up there. Dak Prescott's number is up there. That's just because they got paid when it was their turn. The number is what the number is. If you think you have a guy that's going to be your franchise quarterback, which obviously after last season the Packers did with Jordan Love, you have to pay him what the market rate is, and unfortunately that was $55 million a year. But that'll look good in 3 years because also, quarterbacks are only going to get higher and higher in terms of annual salary.
You have to pay him because you're not going to just move on from Jordan Love and figure out another quarterback. You're not going to just draft and develop. That's not how it's going to work.
Yeah. Jeff in the 920 says, get used to being disappointed with LaFraud. Same old song and dance. Nothing changes. What you saw yesterday is what you will get from Matty Mouse. Wow. So Jeff in the 920 completely out on Matt LaFleur. I'm not that far. Bad game for him. Bad couple of weeks for him. He's still a good head coach. I still think he can win this team a Super Bowl. I don't think I'm crazy in thinking that either. The dude's a really good offensive mind. He has a good defensive coordinator at his disposal now. I know there's talks of, should he give up play calling? Should he bring in an offensive coordinator? I don't think we're there yet. Because I remember at the end of McCarthy, we got there, and it was just all a mess.
Joe Philbin,
yeah. The at one point interim Packers coach and interim Dolphins coach at one point in time. I ever tell you I partied with Joe Philbin's daughter at one point?
yeah, actually. Strangely
I have told
enough,
you that. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Right when he took over as the interim head coach, I was in college, and she was at a party. And I did really good, Josh. I didn't walk up to her and start talking ball, talking X's and O's. I probably should have in retrospect, But I figured she got enough from that, from white dudes in random Wisconsin cities. So
generally, you want to hitch your ships to people whose like acclaim is on the rise. His went precipitously down.
Yeah,
from that point forward.
Well, a guy whose stock will never go down is the Super Bowl champion, one of the successful first round picks for the Green Bay Packers, Brian Bulaga, our teammate and friend. I co-hosted Green Bay Game Day with him all season. He joins us coming up next to break down the Packers' season-ending loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Brian Bulaga is next on Mr. Irrelevant.
This is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Strofe. Miss any of the show? Find commercial-free podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none.
The stock is always up for Super Bowl champion, former Packers first-round pick Brian Bulaga. It's Mr. Irrelevant here on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe hanging out with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Brian Bulaga joins us now to break down the Packers' season-ending loss to the Eagles, a final of 22-10. And obviously, doing the pregame show with Brian all year long, texting during the games. I don't know that either of us ever really had confidence after that opening fumble yesterday, but Blue, appreciate the time as always. I'm just going to give you the floor. How do you react to what happened yesterday in Philadelphia as the Green Bay Packers season comes to an end?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look back on the season and you look at what happened yesterday, and maybe I'm beating a dead horse here, but all the signs were there that a game like that could have happened, right? Like, I mean, maybe we all put our heads in the sand a little bit too deep, but the signs were there, and it was the slow start, and that has been the thing that has kind of plagued this team in these big games. And LaFleur even talked about it after the game. Like, it's the slow start against really good opponents that it's hard to recover, and it's even harder to recover in the playoffs. And I've been a part of those types of games. I mean, albeit in NFC championship games. But when you get out to a slow start in against good teams, it's really hard to recover late in games because that momentum is gone and it's really hard to recover. And that's kind of what we saw. And then just from an overall perspective, like, the defense was phenomenal last night, like, for the positions they were put in and what they had to do to keep that game even a game was so impressive. So hats off to Halfley and the defense and what they were able to do last night against a really good offense and you know, backs up against the wall a lot, holding, you know, Philly to, you know, I think what, under 300 yards or whatever it was, mm-hmm. of total offense. And I mean, they did a really nice job. So that was the one bright spot of the game for me, right? Like, you walk away in the offseason saying, like, all right, like, defensively, I feel really good. Like, they're going to add, obviously, I think, a pass rusher, a corner, and we'll see where we go from there. But you feel good about that, right? You give Halfley another year, and, you know, I think things get even better. Offensively, there's a lot of questions, and I didn't think that would be the side of the ball that we're going to have questions with, but here we go, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where we head into the offseason, and a long offseason it will be.
Yeah, it will be. Obviously, something fun to look forward to at the end of April as the draft comes to Green Bay, but a lot of questions that need answers, and you're totally right. Why could the offense not get anything going, not only yesterday, but it seems like slow starts, right? It feels like, and this is more of a figure of speech than it is legitimate, but it seems like the offense didn't realize the game started some weeks until the second quarter. Why do you think this team struggled to get going offensively for a majority of this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think LaFleur even answered, you know, he said he wish he had the answer, and I wish I had the answer, too, because, like, I'd phone in and let him know. you look at their formula and how they did it, right, early on, and they were the number one team in the NFL with runs in the first half, right? Like, and that was their bread and butter, and that's what they did, and they pounded the rock early in games, and they were successful doing it, right? Like, they got a lot of, you know, good yardage in the first half running the rock. But what comes with that at times is not much production with points, right? And that's kind of what we saw, right? Yeah, you can move the ball down the field a little bit, and those rushing stats look good, and you're giving body blows to the defense and things like that. But not a lot of those drives ended up in points, right? And then, I mean, you may get two first downs, but if you punt it and you give it back to Detroit, or you give it back to Minnesota and they go down and score, and then you do it again and they go back down and kick a field goal, then you're back in the same hole, right? And then you're digging yourself out of it. So it was maybe, I don't want to say it was conservative play, because you were playing to your strength, right? And LaFleur knew that. He knew what the strength of this offense was. It was Jacobs. It was running the football. I just think that potentially they got away from the play action game and what LaFleur's bread and butter was with the wide zone play action game, what he's so used to doing with his other backs that he's had in here for so long, until Jacobs got in, and Jacobs is a really good downhill runner. And what he does so well with the duo game and the tight inside zone game, I really don't want him to go away from that. But I think you have to integrate some more wide zone in so you can reincorporate that type of zone play action game in, because that type of like RPO play action game was essentially gone from this offense. And that is so big in the LaFleur offense, to have those quick hitters and things like that where guys are open so quick, and it just wasn't there. So I'm hoping this offseason that's something they can incorporate. And I know Jacobs can do it. No, it's not his, probably not his favorite thing to run that type of zone scheme. And they probably won't ask him to do it a bunch, but it's just to have it on tape so they can utilize it for the play action game and still utilize, or still really majority use him to run the football the way he likes to do it, because it's so productive and he's so damn good at it. And you watch him play and it's, I mean, that guy is, I mean, watching him run the football last night when everything was, I mean, the game was done, right? And the energy of the team, I mean, mostly offensively, was gone. And that guy's playing with so much juice and passion. Like, gosh dang, man, that was, I mean, as a guy that used to block for guys like that, like, that was awesome to watch. So, like, hats off to that guy. But, and this isn't a knock on him at all. I mean, he comes into a system, they fit it to what he does best. I get it. I'm all on board with it. He has a hell of a year. I just think next year, maybe put a little more on his plate and allow him to, you know, work a little more of the outside zone that LaFleur's so used to running, to incorporate that part of the offense back into it so you can utilize that kind of scheme a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a good thought by you. Brian Belaga with me here, Alex Strofe with you. ESPN Wisconsin special edition of Mr. Relevant until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Brian, I want to go to your bread and butter, because obviously a little bit of an exposed moment for the offensive line yesterday once Elton Jenkins goes down. This is a group that had a ton of continuity this year. 16 of the 17 games, it was the same five starters. Jordan Love wasn't sacked a lot. Josh Jacobs, as you just talked about, had a terrific year. What should we make of what happened yesterday to the offensive line? I get you're throwing in guys that hadn't played a lot, but it seemed like once Elton was removed from the equation, things just crumbled in that group.
Yeah, it surprised me quite a bit what happened once Elton was pulled out of that group. Listen, I know Elton's really good, and when you have a really good guard, a guy that can win one-on-one consistently, he's really good in the run game, he's almost like a second center or second communicator out there. He gets guys on the same page. He's a second set of eyes that can help redirect things. You know, he's been playing for a long time. He's played next to really good tackles and centers in his time. It's a big loss when a guy like that goes out, because now all of a sudden the play caller now has to readjust where the center's sliding and where the protection's sliding from where they originally game planned it. And things change. And not saying that you can't change a game plan, but when you go into something and game plan something so specifically and you have something in mind, and then to completely flip it around because now you're wanting to help a certain side, or you wanted things kind of go a little haywire. And then you add guys in there that, like you said, haven't taken a bunch of snaps, maybe aren't really guards at all. They're tackles. Those two guys that went in there, those look like tackle bodies. All right, those don't look like guard bodies to me. Those two guys look like tackles. And you're asking tackles to play guard against defensive tackles with that on Philly that are studs, right? Those two guys that the Philly defensive line, the D tackles, Jalen Carter and what's the other kid's name? Jordan Davis. Yeah. Those two guys are very good. They're very, very good. And to have guys go in there that haven't played much, maybe guard isn't their strongest position, it's a tough ask, man. And on the road in the playoffs, so like it just it was just a recipe for kind of what we saw. And it's something that they're going to have to look at in the offseason, that depth is a little bit of an issue, right? And then having Jordan Morgan, who was obviously the guy that was taking guard snaps, not there, kind of showed. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Myers. Hopefully he's okay and he didn't get, you know, too severely hurt and he can recover. But we don't know if Green Bay is going to re-sign him. And if he goes to a different team, there's going to be a new center. Will that be Elton, or who would that be? If Elton does kick to center, then you're going to need a guard. And if you put Jordan Morgan at guard, now you're going to need depth behind that, right? So now you got to restock the pantry with depth behind that. And we've seen that that's kind of an issue right now. So there's a lot of questions there, and guys kind of they're going to have to watch that tape. And it's going to be a tough watch, because there's a lot of learning to come from that. Because Philly, they had their way most of the day, and you got to learn from that and move on. But the biggest thing is, that's playoff football, mm-hmm. right? Against high end opponents. That's playoff football against high end opponents. And you get that experience under your belt, you learn from it, and you take it into next year and use it as fuel.
Plenty of Brian Bulaga coming up tonight on the Homer Hour on ESPN Milwaukee from 5 to 6 p.m. We'll also join the guys from Kyle Brust and Ortman around 4:45 this afternoon. So, Brian, I'll get you out of here on this. An unrelated Packers note. Your former head coach, Mike McCarthy, out of the Dallas Cowboys after 5 seasons as his contract expires. He is going to interview with the Chicago Bears. Does the former Packer, Brian Bulaga, want to see Mike McCarthy as the head coach of the Bears, or no?
You know, do I want to see him? I mean, I'd love to see him get another job. Because, sure. Like, listen, I think he's a good head football coach. I mean, I think, you know, he won a lot of games in Dallas. And quite frankly, the hand he was dealt last year with that team, I mean, let's be real, I don't know how many games he was supposed to win with that Dallas team if they stayed completely healthy. To be honest with you, like, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Before they all got hurt, they were struggling before everyone got hurt. So, like, let's just be honest, right? Like, so for them to win 7 games or whatever they won was pretty good for what that team called for. But a part of me just hopes he doesn't go to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to see
I'd hate
him
it.
Go to Chicago.
I'd hate it, Blue. I would hate it. Because I like Mike. Yeah. I don't want him to go to our arch rival. That would suck.
Yeah, like I just, you know, I mean, he's going to be a Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame coach. You know what I mean? He's won a Super Bowl here. He's got a road name after
him here.
Straight,
right.
Yeah, like I just don't, I you know, he's going to do what's best for he and his family and everything. Like, I get it. Like, I understand it. But, like, man, I just wouldn't like it, but you know what? It's certainly not my decision, and it's his call, but I hope he gets another opportunity. I mean, he's, like I said, he's won a lot of football games. And I think he's a good football coach. So I hope the best for him.
I do too. I just hope it's not in Chicago, but New Orleans also interviewing him. I would imagine he will have an opportunity, you know, next year already here as he can begin interviewing. I believe it's Wednesday. He can begin interviewing with teams. Brian Bulaga, co-host of the Homer Hour, here tonight, 5 to 6 with the legend, Steve, the Homer True, beginning at 5 o'clock on ESPN Milwaukee. Thanks, Blue.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's the great Brian Bulaga, Super Bowl champ. He was the youngest player at that point to start and win a Super Bowl. Last time, of course, the Packers won a Super Bowl, which will now be 15 years as we get ready for the 2025 season, the next opportunity the Packers will have at that. It's a special edition of Mr. Irrelevant here on ESPN Wisconsin. That is Joshy DiMaggio. I'm Alex Strofe. Hunter Vaughn also with us as well. If you're able, please help people affected by the California wildfires in the Los Angeles area. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN. That's redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover. Devastating stuff out there in the California area. So if you're able, redcross.org/ESPN. We continue to react to the Packers' loss to the Eagles. The season is over. After this, it's Mr. Irrelevant on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Strofe. Miss any of the show? Find commercial-free podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Irrelevant special with you till 2 o'clock. Alex Strofe, Joshy DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn hanging out with you on ESPN Wisconsin, leading you right into Kyle, Brust, and Nortman, Jim, Matt, Molly, the Damn Sports Show, the Homer Hour, Pottawatomie Football Mondays, all still ahead. The Great Day in Huddle with Barry Alvarez as well. All still ahead across our various ESPN Wisconsin stations. Appreciate you hanging out with us all day today. Despite the not very happy news that the Packers season has come to an end, 22-10 loss yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, Joshy, let's play a pop quiz. Ready?
Hot shot.
You call me a hot shot?
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Which position group produces the most divas in the National Football League?
That's generally wide receivers, followed closely behind by defensive backs.
Okay, so I was looking for the second answer, defensive backs. So a couple of defensive back notes from Green Bay today. I have either Jair Alexander news or Keyshawn Nixon news, depending on which one you'd like to hear first.
I know the Jair news of him electing basically to say nothing.
Yes. So Jair said he declined to talk to the media today at locker cleanout and then went on to ponder whether or not he would be back next year. Mm-hmm. So, I believe the direct quote reported by a couple different reporters was, "I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year." And he said he has nothing nice to say about what happened yesterday. So Jair not talking to the media officially, but pretty much saying, hey, like my mama once said, I've got nothing nice to say, so I won't say anything at all, followed by, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be on this team next year, which I also do not think Jair is going to be on this team next year. The Packers would save $6 million by parting ways with Jair Alexander this offseason. How about this news from Keyshawn Nixon, the Packers cornerback and kick returner, saying he wants to be done returning kicks next year because he wants to focus on being a CB1, meaning in the depth chart, he wants to be the Packers' top cornerback. And then he followed that up with, when you look around the league, not a lot of CB1s are returning kicks. So that is a conversation Keyshawn Nixon intends to have with the coaching staff this offseason, that he will no longer be the all-pro kick returner he was back-to-back years prior to this year, and will just instead focus on being what he thinks is the Packers' top corner. The issue is, I don't think the Packers view him as their top corner.
I mean, he was their top corner.
Him or Valentine,
No, it was him. He's CB1 there, because if you remember, him and Valentine were switching out. Valentine and Stokes.
Stokes, yeah, that's
they
right.
They were rotating.
That's right, Nixon was not. You're right.
He was the one who was pretty much ushered into that spot. I understand why financially it'd be a good move to become the cornerback one in Green Bay, or anywhere for that matter. You would get paid a lot more than he does right now. And I was impressed with his play this season. At the cornerback position when asked to, because he was mainly only a slot guy before that. I don't even think they really thought he could play much cornerback. He was there to be a return specialist. I don't think his team or his coaches want him as the number one go-to guy when all the chips are down. Next season, he might be in that position to start it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Packers' long-term plan is Keyshawn Nixon.
Probably not. Probably not. Keyshawn Nixon also saying today, quote, "I got the ball back for sure, and then it should have been targeting," end quote, on that opening kickoff. I agree with him on both of those accounts. But
you could not fumble, though.
Yeah, you could have not fumbled.
Yeah.
He did get popped.
I could have avoided that, too.
Yeah.
His job is to avoid it.
That's true. to get past him and run the other way. But, hey, not what happened. So that is what it is. Appreciate all the texts and comments flowing in. We will recap some of those as well as wrap up the show as we always do on Mr. Relevant, which is what we learned. You learned something new today. We learned something new today. We'll play a little what we learned, and we will do some cleanup on some of your texts and comments rolling in on the Carveless Talk and text line. Liz is more with Carveless, 800-990-3776. And on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. We wrap up Mr. Relevant on ESPN Wisconsin right after this.
This is Mr. Irrelevant with Alex Strofe. Miss any of the show? Find commercial-free podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wrapping up a special Monday edition, Mr. Relevant here on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strofe, Joshy DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn, Tiny Hands, hanging out with you for just a few more minutes as we get you set for Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, Brad Nortman, and myself coming up with you next here on ESPN Wisconsin. All right, you learned something new every day. We learned something new today. It's time now for What We Learned. We start with Joshy DiMaggio.
This one has evolved since I brought it to us. Mike McCarthy first was reported that he and Jerry Jones had not had any talks yet. But now it's officially announced he is not coming back. So despite them denying the request just a week ago to be interviewed by the Bears, they chose not to pursue him any sort of extension. And now he's on the open market, able to do what he wants.
So I think we're about only halfway there. So it's, I'm going to make a proclamation that we can't quite make yet, but I think we're about halfway to the point where I can make the proclamation that manifestation is real. So, Joshy, weeks ago on Mr. Irrelevant, you brought up a certain scenario that would lead to a certain reunion, which all of a sudden, 152 Monday, looking a heck of a lot better than it did a few weeks ago. Fill us in.
Yeah, I was looking around the NFL, figured there's a good chance that both Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers were going to be looking for new homes. Those homes, you start to put the pieces together, look who's quarterback needy, who's going to be head coach needy. It's New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Derek Carr's there, but is anybody sold on Derek Carr?
No. Now, is anybody sold on Aaron Rodgers? That's the other question. But
Mike McCarthy might be.
Sure is, but let's keep in mind, Mike McCarthy has two interviews coming this week.
Mm-hmm.
One with the Chicago Bears, we just talked to Brian Bulaga about. The other is with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Once you start putting the pieces together, if it's not New Orleans, where's Aaron going?
Darkness retreat? Peru?
Vegas?
I don't know that he's playing football next year. I don't know. We'll see. We got to see how some of these chips fall over the course of the next couple months. But I am not sold Rodgers plays next year.
I've held that belief for quite a while now.
But if he does, it could be in New Orleans. And I'm kind of hoping it is. And I just said it with Bulaga on this Mike McCarthy thing real quick. Number one, I think it's a bad decision by Dallas. I think this is a really bad decision by Dallas. It's good for Mike because he can get away from Jerry Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I do firmly believe Mike McCarthy will get a job this offseason as a head coach somewhere. But I don't want him to go to Chicago. Here's why.
No.
He's a good head coach. He's going to bring some stability to an unstable organization if he takes that Chicago job. But also, then Packers fans have to hate him, and there's literally a street named after him right by the stadium. Yeah. It gets a little awkward.
I don't want to root against him.
Exactly. I like Big Mike. I only had to root against him a few times when he was in Dallas. I would rarely have to do it if he goes to New Orleans. If he goes to Chicago, I have to root against him every week. That's exhausting. I have to hate him, right? So that'd be exhausting. What we learned is double doinks can be good, except if you're the Chicago Bears. Now, this was only a single doink, I guess, in last night's nightcap, Sunday night football between the Commanders and the Buccaneers. Zane Gonzalez, the kickers for the Commanders, knocks home a walk-off field goal off the upright to win the game 23-20, win Washington's first playoff game since 2006. I feel like we don't often see doinks work out for the good, Joshy. And last night, we saw a doink work out for the good for Zane Gonzalez and the Commies, as you like to call them, the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, generally, that means that the ball's going to come back. It is oblong-shaped. It is irregular. The ball can bounce in many ways. But if generally you hit it...
It is oblong-shaped. Thanks, Joshy.
Oblong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never want to do that. You want to put it right through the uprights.
Sure do.
But if you hit it just right, the right angle, you might get through.
I'm pretty fired up about the Commies. So let's just run through real quick. We got like a minute and a half left.
The Commies you're fired up about?
I am. They're a fun team. I like Jaden Daniels.
That game was boring.
It was pretty boring. I turned it off, admittedly. I turned it back on when it was 20-20 and Washington was driving. But it was a little underwhelming because for me, as you know, I was all about the points in this game. 23-20, meh. All right, so this is what you have set. The AFC divisional round is set. Saturday, 3:30, we'll have Chiefs-Texans in Kansas City. That game... Meh.
You can wait till the afternoon. Yeah. I mean, the evening.
Night. Yeah. Saturday night, your game is Lions-Commanders in Detroit. Again, I think that could get out of hand. But Commanders are kind of sneaky. They're well-coached. They could stay in it, I think. I think the Lions win that game. But kind of a fun game for round two.
Going to be very little punting and conceding and field goals. Both of those coaches go for it at the highest rate.
Your Sunday night game is unbelievable. It is a battle of the MVP candidates. The Bills and the Ravens in Buffalo. This is by far the sexiest game of the playoffs so far. Imagine we will have quite a few points scored. You will have two great quarterbacks going head-to-head, both of which desperately need a Super Bowl on their resume, right? Because Josh Allen doesn't even have the MVPs yet. Lamar's got two. It will probably end up being three. I think he's going to win this year. Josh Allen doesn't have the MVP. He might win one this year. But they both need a Super Bowl. They both need to get to that next level as these great next, you know, faces of the league type players alongside Patrick Mahomes. They each need a Super Bowl really bad. Only one of them going to get to the AFC Championship game with a win on Sunday night. So that game's really fun. The other game will be the Eagles versus the winner of tonight's game, the Rams and the Vikings. Who do you got tonight in Arizona?
I think it's the Vikings.
I do too.
Yeah.
The Rams are intriguing though, man, right? They're healthy. Stafford, Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. They've got a healthy offense. They still desperately miss Aaron Donald in the middle of their defense. But they could be in it. I mean, I just imagine the Vikings really looking to rebound after that crap they put on national television last week against Detroit. And I think they're going to come out angry. It's still going to be a heavy Rams crowd on Arizona due to the wildfires, that game moving. But we will see that game 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. That will do it for us here on Mr. Relevant. Big thanks to Brian Belaga. Big thanks to everybody that jumped on with us, Joshie Hunter-Vaughn. Kyle Bruston-Ortman continues the Packers' reaction as the Packers fall 22-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Their season is over. KBN is up next right here on ESPN Wisconsin.